Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be able to share the word with you this morning. It's been a while, so if I sound a little rusty, that's how come. So give me some grace today, but I'm glad to share the word of God. I love being able to preach and communicate God's word to the congregation today, and let's just open in a word of prayer and prepare our hearts to receive what the Holy Spirit wants us to receive this morning. Lord, we just do that. We open our hearts to you. An act of our will. Say, Lord, speak, for your servants are listening. Open our minds to what you would have communicated to us today, and let us learn. Help us to be learners today and growers in your word today. Lord, for those of us who are struggling with issues of the heart, with different things that may be weighing heavy upon our lives, that, Lord, that you would come and encourage and build up and strengthen today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. To start this morning, I would like to let you know the title of my message is The God Who Changes You. The God Who Changes You. And often we don't think about that very much, but today I want us to focus on the God who is interested in bringing change into your life. To start with, we're going to look at the power of God and examine that in brief, and then find out how that power has the ability to sustain us and ultimately transform us into the image of God. Let's start with a word from the Lord in Scripture. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might." I have bolded that last phrase, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. So we see from this verse of Scripture that God wants to strengthen us according to His power. This morning, I believe that God has come to give you all a boost today. He wants to infuse some of His power into you today. But when you look at the verse of Scripture here in more detail, that it's not just a little boost He wants to give you. God wants to give you a mega boost. He wants to infuse you with His power, God's power. Right? And the word in the Greek for strengthened means to enable, to give ability. God wants to give you His ability. I want you to jump by faith here. To grab a hold of, God wants to give you His ability. So often we walk in our own ability, but God wants to bring us to a place where we can trust Him for His ability to be working in our lives. What I would like to propose to you today is that God wants to empower you, sustain you, and change you completely. So that today is the last day of being the same old individual to be tomorrow, be a total brand new individual. I want to encourage you to anticipate an encounter with the Holy Spirit this morning. The Greek word here for the word all, it says like all power. Guess what it means? All. All means all. It means it's all-encompassing. And the word dunamis actually is the Greek word for power, and it means the potentiality to exert force in performing some function. It's the same word by which we derive the English word for dynamite. So God is going to strengthen us with all power. That's his desire. That's not an insignificant quantity of power, but rather an explosive amount of energy. The power the Lord wants to release over your life is so strong, it's like dynamite. And will enable you to face whatever you have to face in life and whatever the devil throws at you as well. He's going to release his power over you so that you are changed. God is in the changing business. He takes us, saves us, remolds us, shapes us. It's all about change. It's all about becoming new. It's going to change you from weak to strong, from poor to rich, from sick to whole, from discouraged to encouraged, from hopeless to hopeful, from sinner to saint. But wait, there is still more. There's a comparison here that the power he's going to strengthen us with is in accordance to his power, his glorious might. It wasn't enough for him to strengthen us with all power. He goes over and above and he says, the power that I'm going to give you is not just lots of power. It's my power. It's glorious power. It's power that's like mega power. It's power that you cannot even describe the power. Actually, there's no English words to actually craft to make it describe what it really is. You say, well, exactly how much power is this? We can look in Scripture and find some indications as to what that kind of power is by looking a little bit about who God is. First of all, we see that God created us. God created you. In Colossians 1:15 through 16, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That's speaking of Jesus. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. All things. Everything that you experience in life, everything that you go outside, look at the sky, look at the nature, everything, it's all been created by him. How? That must have taken a lot of power. How much power would that have taken? More power than you can even begin to imagine. And God wants to strengthen you today by that kind of power. God wants to sustain you today by that kind of power. And God wants to change you today by that kind of power. Don't limit your God this morning. Your God has endless power. And he says, I'm going to strengthen you by that kind of power. The power that created the universe and everything in it. A power unimaginable. So right now I'm going to take you and get you to focus on a very basic doctrine. It's so basic, but it is so critical that you grab a hold of it by faith this morning. And that is this. God is the creator of everything. Meditate on that for just a second, okay? He has made everything. This teaching is so basic and yet is so critical, right? We teach it to our children, you know, that he's the creator of everything. How did he do that? God is so big, is so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. That's a song for children. It's basic. But if you don't get it, if you don't grab a hold of that by faith, I'm here to tell you, your faith will fail. Scripture claims that God is responsible for what we see and experience and nature. God is responsible for the origins of the universe and mankind and all other living creatures. In order to establish a doctrine, of course, you need more than one verse. I've got a second for you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. All things, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. God has the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it. God created your body. Let's look at some stats concerning the human body. Messages from the human brain travel along nerves at up to 322 kilometers per hour. So these nerves that you have in your body instantaneously connect you from head to toe, and things can travel very fast. The brain contains 86 billion nerve cells joined by 100 trillion connections. This is way more than the number of the stars in the Milky Way. An adult human body is made up of about 7 octillion atoms. In an adult human, blood circulates about 19,000 kilometers a day. A human heart beats over 3 billion times during an average human lifespan. Phenomenal. I mean, this is just a few things. When you really study the human anatomy, it's absolutely mind-boggling. A miraculous creation, the crown of God's creation, is mankind, human being. God made you. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make him. God made us according to our likeness, and let them rule. The psalmist believed this as well. He says, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Does your soul know it very well that you have been created by God? Does your soul know it very well that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, all-loving creator who has not only created you but has the power to sustain you, has the power to change you into all that he has called you to be? Do you know it very well? Are you intimately acquainted with the idea that God has a plan for your life and that he has created you and he has a purpose for you and he's bringing you into a place where he wants to empower you to fulfill all that God has called you to be and to do? Do you know that very well? Looking at the galaxy system, we should have a picture. There it is. There are probably more than 170 billion galaxies in the observable universe. The universe is believed to expand a distance of 26 billion light years. One light year is about 9.5 billion kilometers. In order for the galaxy to come into being, it must have taken a tremendous amount of power. How did this actually happen? How did it come to pass? It is clear in Scripture. The Bible makes it clear and evident who is responsible for this. Isaiah 44, verse 24, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and the one who formed you from the womb, I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone. God did it by himself. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. A simple breath of God created the galaxy. All he did is said, let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. If that's not power, I don't know what is. And that power is available for you this morning. That's the kind of power God is going to release over your life. Now, the Word of God is very clear. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his internal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. The word clearly in the Greek means to acquire definite information. So when we look at nature, it is absolutely clear if we are honest with ourselves, that God made it. God's fingerprints are all over creation. All of creation screams out, there is a God. I share this with you in the hope that you'll see that God is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, and eternal. This is who you have in your corner who's fighting for you. He's working mightily in you even when you don't think that he is. Even when you don't see the changes happening in your life, know that he's still working. He's going to do amazing things in your life. Which brings me to my next point. He is going to sustain you. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I want to encourage you today that the God of the universe holds you together. Some days you may have your doubts, but I'm here with full confidence declaring that God holds all things together, even all the things that are pertaining to your life. He's holding it all together. He's creating a package. He's the master artist. He's creating an obvious picture out of your life, a beautiful picture out of your life. He's bringing you to completion. He's bringing you to fulfillment. He's holding it all together. Now, there's an illustration I came across a number of years ago. Louis Giglio is a teacher, and there was a video clip of one of his messages, and he shared an illustration that kind of really vivifies this point that he holds all things together. And I want to share with it you today in brief. When it comes to God creating us, he put in our bodies a special protein, a protein molecule called laminin. Some of you are probably familiar with this. This molecule is like the rebar of the human body. It's like the glue in our tissues. It's what is responsible for holding the human body together. Please look at the scientific rendering of this molecule and what it looks like. The scientific rendering of this molecule is actually in the shape of a cross. And if you want to go online, just type in laminin and Google it, and you'll find, you can actually look at a microscopic version of it, and it is definitely in a shape similar to a cross. And it blesses me, and it always amazes me when God hides the cross in various places. And so in awe, I look at this, and I'm reminded of Colossians 1:17, in Christ, he holds all things together. So I want to encourage you today. I don't know what you're going through, whatever trial you may be facing. I'm here to tell you God's got it. He's holding it all together for you, even if you don't feel like it. God's got it. He's got it. The most difficult thing I had to go through was the loss of my grandson, Lucian. And I won't tell the story about it today, but you can read about it. My son, Terrence, wrote a book on it, and it's called Days That Are Given to Us, and you can find it online at Amazon. It's in our library, church library as well. On May 14th of our journey with Lucian, 2014, God gave me a word for a situation with Lucian. And the word that he gave me said, it's going to be okay. Later that day, the very day, we received news that the cancer had returned to my two-year-old grandson and there was nothing left that the doctors could do. Now, my okay and God's okay are sometimes two different things. So losing a child, losing a grandchild or a spouse is one of the most difficult things to go through. Experts say that it takes 5 to 10 years to recover from such a loss. And in many ways, you don't recover. You just simply learn to live with a new reality. But here is where God enters the picture. He gives grace and power to sustain. And gets you through and walks you through. God helps you to be okay in the midst of the circumstances that are not okay. The reason for this is that in him, all things hold together. God is holding me together. He's holding my family together. He's got this. Lucian certainly is held together. He's doing fine in heaven. He's worshiping and praising God in the presence of the angels, and he's having a great time. And through our grief, God's still helping us, walking us through, getting us through to the other side, you see. Another experience in my life that demonstrates God holding us together as I was working in a print shop a number of years ago. I had felt the call of God upon my life to be involved in vocational ministry, went to Bible school, ended up in ministry for 3 years. I thought, this is it. It's great. I'm doing the work of the Lord, doing what God called me to do. And then circumstances changed, and I had to leave the ministry and go find a job. And I found a job in this print shop, and I had to work there. And I thought, oh, 6 months, and I'll be back in the ministry. It'll be fine. I'll just put up with this. It was the worst experience in my life. It was dirty. It was stinky. It was smelly, and my hands were constantly covered in ink, and my hands were always stained with black, and it was just a very trying experience. And it lasted for not 6 months, not 1 year, not 2 years, not 5 years, but a total of 19 years. A time where God had to come along, teach me things, obviously, but in the midst of that, I had to experience the sustenance power of God. And I'm here to tell you that He sustained me, He has helped me, He walked me through my confusion and my disillusionments of why things weren't turning out the way I was hoping they were going to be turning out. And He used that experience to teach me His sustaining power. Maybe you're struggling today. Maybe it's with relationships, even your marriage, financial struggles, personal vision loss, loss of a loved one, things that are so difficult to explain or even accept. The word of the Lord for me was this and is this. It's going to be okay because in Him, He holds it all together. It doesn't matter how wicked the storm of life. It doesn't matter how challenging the trial. I'm here to tell you that Jesus has got you. He will sustain you. If you're a believer, He's in your boat. And He will get you safely to the other side. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Don't worry. He's got you. He's going to get you to the other side. Lauren Daigle lost her grandfather to leukemia. She went through this similar struggle. Why? How come this happened? All this going on. You know, the power of God's there. Why didn't He heal him? All those things. She was very close to her grandfather, and he passed away. Afterwards, she penned these words, and there's a whole song called Trust You, but part of the song says this: when you don't move the mountains I'm needing you to move, when you don't part the waters I wish I could walk through, when you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. We don't know the whole story. We just have to remember that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning, He's the ending of our entire lives. When you start into a storm, He's the beginning. He's there in the beginning of the storm, He's there through the storm, and He's there as you're coming out of the storm. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He's going to sustain you through whatever trial that you have to go through. God is there. He's your Alpha, He's your Omega. He will empower you. He will bring you through by His glorious might. Remember, the power that He gives you is an equation equal to His power. He's mightily working in you, even though you don't see it. Hang in there, and you'll be able to say of the Lord in agreement with the psalmist, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. Again, the psalmist says, Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Have you fallen today? Have you messed up? Is that why you're in trouble today? Not to worry, God's got that too. As a believer, you win, you win, you win, you win, you win, you win all the time. Even when you're losing, you're still going to be winning. It's a great thing to know Jesus as your Savior. He saves you, He forgives you, He props you up, He helps you walk, and then when you trip up and fall, and He gets down and helps you up again. He promises to sustain you. If you keep looking to Him, if you turn from the error of your ways, God will come alongside and help you. If you humble yourself and receive His forgiveness, not only can He sustain you, but He can transform you. Which brings me to my next point. He's the God who changes you. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. The word transformation in the Greek means to change the essential form or nature of something. The English word metamorphosis comes from this word. Metamorphosis is best illustrated in the transformation of a caterpillar to a butterfly. The butterfly starts off as that worm like caterpillar and undergoes a metamorphosis in which everything it was is changed into what it will become. Nothing is the same. It is a complete overhaul of the original. It looks totally different. There should be a picture now. I don't know what you can identify with the most today, whether it's the caterpillar or the butterfly, but I'm here to tell you God wants to make you the butterfly. God wants to bring you to that place where you're not just crawling and limping along, but that you are actually taking flight, and that you're free, and that you're liberated, and that you're beautiful. Actually, you are. In Christ, you already are. It's just a matter of stepping into the reality that has already been accomplished for you at the cross. But experientially, He wants you to become the new person He's made you to be. A spiritual metamorphosis. He wants you to experience real change. I remember when I came to Christ that the grass was greener. Life was more joyful. Later on, God visited me with the Holy Spirit, brought more transformation into my life. Some of us are transformed instantaneously. Others of us take a lot longer time. That's probably why I was 19 years in the print shop. A lot longer, but more sure. You see, for believers, it's a long and slow, some believers, it's a long and slow process, but nevertheless, it will continue if we put Christ first. Keep looking towards God, then the transformation process will occur, guaranteed. I remember people taking notice of me and saying, Gary, you've changed. You're so much more outgoing. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. A new confidence has come into my life and has continued to grow even this day. From glory to glory, He's changing me step by step. I remember the 1990s, God got a hold of my life in the area of prayer. I was not really, up until that point, that interested in prayer. I really didn't like prayer that much. I found it kind of boring and laborious. And no one else experiences that, I'm sure. But that was my experience with it. But something happened to me, and I can't really fully explain what happened, but I remember believing, I think, that God would answer prayer in significant ways. And I remember there came a point in time where I was became aware of a woman who was trying to have her second child. They had one child already, but she had a history of miscarriages. And she had gotten pregnant a second time, and she was beginning to show signs of miscarriage again. And when I heard about it, the Holy Spirit just really, something welled up within me, like a sense of this has got to stop. And something like a sense of justice began to well up within me. And I remember at 804 Robinson, went down into the basement of our home, and I began to just pray about it. And then all of a sudden, I began to not just pray about it. I began to make declaration. I began to cry out to God. I said, God, this is not right. This child is to live. the enemy must not take this child's life. And I began to contend, and I began to make declaration, this child shall live. And I made declaration, devil, get your hands off this child in the name of Jesus. And I began to cry to God and make declarations and call, and so much so that I began to sweat. And I was engaging in something I'd never engaged in before and called upon the Lord, and I never had this experience. And then it was only about an hour in length. And then when I've got to the end of the hour, I said, this is done. It's what they say, I learned later, it's called being praying it through. Praying until you feel there's a release that this prayer is accomplished. Several months later, baby is born. The couple call him Matthew. The name means gift from God. The couple does not know the Lord, and yet they acknowledge that God had intervened. Isn't that amazing? Praise the name of Jesus. And so it's really interesting how that, I say that because I never used to pray. Never used to pray at all. And there came a point in time when I was so shy about praying that you could never get me to pray one-on-one. And I started dating my wife. And then we had some prayer back and forth, one-on-one. She encouraged me in that way. Mary's a great prayer warrior. But God got a hold of my heart, and he changed me from this prayerless person into this person that began to pray with authority, with boldness, with confidence in his God to answer prayers. Another experience, there was a little boy who became, was part of the foster system, and one of the families in this church came up for adoption. The family wanted to adopt the boy, and it was an impossibility, just an absolute impossibility. They still felt in their heart that this is what God wanted to do, and God put it in my heart, yes, this should happen. And I began to intercede and cry out to God like I did for this other child and just declare, this child shall live, this child shall be brought into a home where this child may experience the presence of God and come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and began to cry out to God, this child shall be transformed into the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. And all these kinds of things were going through my head, but it was like intense, and it was intense. And I was bold with it. The child became their son and is in this church today. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. God has transformed my prayer life because he's transforming the way I think and in the way I believe. And when you know God answers prayer and you know how that the enemy hinders prayer answers, then you learn, oh, I'm going to be a warrior here. Because God has called us to fight through prayer. Anyway, but the transformation process has been in my life in that area, and I just wanted to share that with you. At the same time, I want to put with you a thought that when it comes to intercessory prayer, that you always have to leave the results in God's hands, right? Because he answers according to his perfect will and plan for those lives. And sometimes we think is the perfect will of God and plan for certain people's lives. It may not always be that way, because we see through a glass darkly. We don't get the full picture. We only have bits and pieces of it. So I just share that with you. All I'm saying is that God transformed me in that area. I pray out loud like I've never prayed before. Fear used to bind me. I don't have that anymore in my life. How did this happen? All happened by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray audacious prayers now. I pray for the whole city of Regina to get saved, not just a small part of it. I pray for the nation to come to Christ, not just a part of it. I pray for this church to become 10,000 strong. I'm believing God for a building out there on the parking lot to house 1,000 people or more. And not only that, I'm believing for more than that. I'm believing for other buildings and other areas, other land to be purchased. I'm believing God because I believe that God is going to grow this church and going to impact the city and bring great revival, and we're just not going to be able to contain it. I pray for finances for this church and for the body of Christ. I don't pray for the thousands anymore or the 10,000s anymore. I pray for the millions. Is it going to take millions of dollars to accomplish what God wants to do in and through us? And so I'm believing God for the most. Do not ever shortchange what God can do. Don't ever pray under what God's power can deliver. Always pray over and above what you can even imagine yourself, so that because God can deliver that and bring that into your life and into the lives of those around you. I've been transformed. My prayer life has been transformed. How did this happen? This happened because God is mightily working in us to bring about his purposes. Peter was also transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember Peter? He was follower of Jesus, right? A disciple of Jesus. And he was following Jesus to the crucifixion. He gets there. He's warming himself by the fire. He denies Jesus 3 times. He's repentant. Jesus restores repentant Peter in the book of John. Then we see Peter in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is poured upon all flesh. Peter stands up with great boldness and authority and explains to all the people there why this has happened. And that it was a fulfillment of the prophecy from Joel. Then later in Acts chapter 3, John and Peter go to the prayer. As they're on their way to prayer, they heal a lame man by the power of the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus Christ. They're brought before the leaders. And when they're brought before the leaders, Peter makes this absolute bold statement. He says this, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by his name this man stands before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which became the chief cornerstone, and this there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved.'" Peter stands before the crucifiers of Jesus. Stands before the crucifiers of Jesus, who could also crucify him or have him crucified. And he makes this statement. This is Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, transported, translated, transformed into this mighty man of God, boldly declaring, "No, Jesus is the way, the truth, life. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. He's the one. You crucified him." Wow. I was online a while back and I came across a story that 700 Club produced. I'd like to share it with you as it really demonstrates the transformation power of God. Let's show that now, please.
My childhood growing up with an abusive dad and alcoholism, if I could describe it in a weather report, it would be tornado. Unpredictable.
Marianne McMillan's dad was a raging alcoholic who beat her mom and threatened them with guns.
The police would come often because it was always another domestic violence case.
Marianne was 12 when she picked up her father's habits.
What compelled me to drink and what was missing in my life was peace, was love. I felt abandoned my entire life. I felt like a mistake.
Marianne's father died from cancer when she was in high school, but she still felt his influence on her life. At 17, Marianne married a man just like him.
I know it's dysfunctional, but to me, the more control, the more abuse meant the more love.
After 4 years, they divorced, and Marianne joined the Air Force. Even though it gave her stability and hope for the future, she looked to men and alcohol for what the military couldn't give her.
I went from bed to bed to find love. The drinking, what didn't it do for me? I was so numb. I mean, I drank till I blacked out.
Then Marianne met Michael, a fighter pilot who was also a Christian. Unlike most of the men she pursued, he refused her sexual advances. Instead, He started sharing his faith in Christ and taking her to church.
When I saw this light in him, that he wasn't like everyone else, that he didn't have to drink, and his value wasn't caught up in being a fighter pilot, I realized that I wanted to know more about Jesus.
Marianne was afraid to tell Michael about her past, but her continual bouts with drunkenness made it obvious to him that she was carrying some deep-seated pain.
Something's got to give. She was definitely someone who was just dying for God in some way.
Eventually, Michael was transferred to Arizona. Then, a few months later, Marianne went to Phoenix for a friend's wedding. She visited Michael, ready to share her story. Michael immediately thought her life resonated with the Book of Job.
Why the Book of Job? Because as she's telling me all this, to me, it was instantaneously a match for poor Job, who just lost it all.
As Mike began to read the story to her, neither of them had any idea how their lives would change.
My heart was racing. My body felt like it was on fire. And the Word of God was alive. God began to speak to me almost with his own voice. And in that moment, I said, "Forgive me, Father, for I've questioned you my entire life." But just like at the end of Job, Job said, "But today I know you." Everything was made new in that moment. I was crying because I was so happy. It was like I could breathe. I felt free. I felt alive. Like, what is this? I've never felt this in my life. No amount of drinking, no amount of getting high has ever been able to compare to this love.
At that moment, Marianne surrendered her heart to Jesus.
When I repented and gave my life to God, and I asked for him to forgive me of all of that vile background, he delivered me miraculously from alcohol.
2 weeks later, Mike did something he wanted to do since she gave her life to Christ: proposed to Marianne. They say at that moment, God gave them a sign of promise.
This massive rainbow immediately came out. I'm like, okay, God, this is good. This is funny. I couldn't arrange for this. This is all right.
I had no reservation. I just floated on down. I couldn't wait to be Mrs. McMillan. I couldn't wait to be one with him. I couldn't wait to start our journey together.
Marianne has been sober for 17 years. Today, the McMillans have 2 children, and they started a ministry called Broken No More. Marianne has written a book about her life to help lead others to freedom in Christ.
My identity is no longer whore, alcoholic, damaged goods. My identity is I am born of God and the evil one can't touch me. But there's a God who loves you more, and he doesn't see your sin, he sees his blood. You're not too damaged to reach out and touch the same God who touched me. All you have to do is ask the same God who rescued me to rescue you, and God will use what the enemy meant for evil for your good. I promise. My childhood growing up with an abusive dad and...
Amen. Praise God. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness. An amazing transformation has taken place in our lives as believers. He's forgiven us all our sin. We are transformed from sinner to saint, from the pit to the palace, from rags to riches. He's worked mightily in us. And what I see here was the transforming power of God in Marianne's heart. God, the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it, has the power to transform your life. He made you in his image. He has a plan for your life. God, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-seeing, all-present God, can take your life, remold it, and reshape it. Why? Because he loves you. He created you. He sustains you. And he will change you because he is the God who changes us.